The section that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our gospel lesson for the day from Luke chapter 5, especially where it says this: "And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men.' Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." The story as it is told is interesting in almost every way. Peter and his fishing crew are cleaning their nets up after a long night of hard work. Unfortunately, this particular night, all they have to clean out of their nets is that slimy mess that surrounds the fish they were hoping to catch in the sea. It's been a downright awful night for these fishermen. All of the usual work of any night, and yet no fish. All the toil and no tilapia. As they cleaned their nets, Jesus there spoke to a crowd the word of God. But as more and more people gathered, the crowd simply became too large for Jesus to be able to stand on the coast in front of them and speak. Seeing Peter's empty boat, he hopped inside and asked Peter if he might push him out a little ways from the coast in order that he could address all of the people that had come to see him. We don't know really at this point if Peter had met Jesus before, or whether he was simply impressed with his teaching or the size of his following. But whatever the case is, Peter did not hesitate for a moment. So Jesus sat there then in the boat and began to instruct all the people, Peter no doubt included in their number. And when he was done, Jesus took to Peter and said to him, "Put out your nets in the deep water." Really think about it, it's quite amazing. And no doubt the work of the Holy Spirit that Peter did exactly that. Yes, he did so despite the fact that his nets were just newly cleaned. He did it despite the fact that they had caught nothing the entire night. He did it despite the fact that this carpenter was telling the fishermen how to fish. Something about the authority of Jesus' word caused Peter to entrust himself and those newly cleaned nets into the hands of the man he called Master. The next thing Peter knew, the nets were in the water. And the following thing was that those nets were breaking under the weight of a great catch of fish. He called over for help, and his other crew came over. But even with two boats there, there were simply too many fish. As they unloaded the fish from the nets into the boats began to sink. What a catch of fish. Right there where there had been no fish all night long. Indeed, this was not just a good catch. This was a miraculous catch. It was the kind of catch that only God could bring. And there it was. That was the realization that Peter had in that moment. Peter suddenly realized that this man, Jesus, whom he readily called Master, was much more than just a master. In fact, Peter's next time that he addressed Jesus would be in calling him Lord, the very word that those Jewish people used to speak of their God. We modern Christians might think it would just be awesome to see such a miracle right there before our eyes. We might think it would be downright exhilarating to be standing right next to God in the flesh. But Peter didn't have any such thoughts. No, he was much like his nets. He was unraveling under the weight of the realization that God himself was right there in the boat with him. Indeed, his heart sank under the load of that epiphany. You see, Peter knew two very important things, two things that caused him to have the reaction that he did. He knew first that God was absolutely perfect in every way. And secondly, he knew that he was nowhere close. Yes, Peter knew what it was to fear God. It meant for Peter that his sinfulness could not stand there any longer in the presence of a holy God. It meant that he felt like he needed to fall down at Jesus' feet. It meant ultimately begging Jesus to depart from him before his holiness could consume Peter in his sin. But there, right in the midst of Peter's terror, came two words from Jesus with great authority. Jesus told Peter, "Fear not." And with those two words, the forgiveness that Jesus would later earn at the cross was delivered then and there to Peter. Yes, now Peter could stand there before God. He could stand because Jesus had removed his sins from him. Because Jesus had made him holy, he could even rise from his knees. And Jesus not only forgave Peter of his sins that day, but he also gave to him a whole new life. He told him that from now on he would no longer be catching fish, but that he would be filling up his nets with people instead. Yes, now his bait would be the words of Jesus, and people would be the miraculous catches that he would see. I sometimes wonder if you and I have lost the sense of the fear of God that Peter had in that boat. That Peter had in that moment right before Jesus extended his grace to Peter. Do we still have those moments when the law reveals our sin to us and our knees feel weak? Perhaps our heart pounds a little harder when we realize that that sin, in fact, can kill our faith? Do you and I still experience what Luther always called a terrified conscience? That inner feeling of the weight of our sin, to know that our sins deserve eternal death. Do we have those momentary realizations that if our sin stands, we will fall? That we will fall underneath the wrath of a holy and just God? I, for one, think that we should have those moments. We should not have them because somehow God values our being afraid before him. But rather, we should have those moments because they rest on the very truth of how sin affects our relationship with God. How sin threatens to end our relationship with God. Yes, indeed, those moments are important because they're based on truth. They're also important because I have a feeling that if we never have those moments of fear, then we will also never truly savor the gospel as we should. We will never hear the good news of Christ quite as sweet as it should sound in our ears. Perhaps a common television commercial can help explain what I mean. Perhaps you've even seen it. The commercial is for a well-known security company. A young, attractive woman ends a date with an equally nice-looking man. She thanks him for the evening, but does not invite him inside. She explains that while she had a great time, that she just got out of a bad relationship. And so she's taking everything very slow. She enters into her home and sets her alarm. All the time, the thoughts of that first date bringing a smile to her face. But then all of a sudden, the camera cuts to the front door, which reveals through its glass pane window a man who is fuming. No doubt this woman's ex. He is fuming from seeing her with another man. His face is so intense as he lunges through the door, breaking the lock and sounding the alarm. The camera pans back to the girl, who is terrified in every sense of the word. But then all of a sudden the phone rings and a voice says, "Is everything all right?" The woman says, still terrified, "No." The voice assures, "Help is on the way." Calm begins to come over her face. Now imagine for a moment if that same security company had made that same call when there was no break-in, there was no alarm. What if the security company had called while she was simply sitting at the end of the evening having a nice glass of wine? That woman would have surely thought the call very odd. Why would they call and ask if everything was all right when nothing had happened, when no reason for alarm had occurred? No, you see, it was that moment of terror, seeing her ex-boyfriend there through that window, that made the phones ring that night sweeter than she ever could have imagined before that moment. Sometimes I fear that we, when we hear words like, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," or "I forgive you of all of your sins in the name of Jesus," or "take, eat, take, drink," that we receive these things sort of as if they are courtesy calls from God, that the ways that God simply checks in with us to make sure that everything is still going okay. But you see, when those calls come, if we don't think there's anything wrong, if we don't know that there's sin in our life that is terrifying to us, surely we receive those calls from God as a little odd, or at the very least, at least numbingly normal. But when you and I realize that sin indeed threatens our very relationship with God, that it casts our eternal life into doubt, then we will understand those calls from God as exactly what they are. Then when we hear those words, we will receive them as the removal of our toxic sins and shortcomings, as the answer to our terrified conscience, as the victory over that raging lunatic called Satan, who seeks to break into our homes and kill us. God calls to us, through his word and through his sacrament, to bring us calm. To bring us calm right there in the midst of our terror. For while the Bible is clear that on this side of the last day, everyone will continue to sin, at the same time, the Bible is equally clear that sin in the Christian life is never to be seen as normal. You see, to be comfortable with sin in our lives shows that our faith is dying. As John says in his epistle, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. No, every sin that is revealed to us by God's law indeed should bring terror into our hearts. For when it does, then Jesus' words of pure goodness and grace will be comfort to us that we will not soon forget. When Jesus says to us, "Fear not," it will be the exact words that we need to hear. And then we will be able to sing loud and with genuine relief, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, died that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine. Amen.